Welcome to the Sober Cube podcast.
Hello, my name is Blake and I'm an alcoholic. I've been asked to share on what are we deciding to do when we take step three. This is a particularly interesting topic for me because I took a long time to sort out what step three means. At my very first meeting of AA, a few days after my family threw me out, I saw these 12 steps on the wall and immediately accepted that 1 and 2 applied to me. My life was certainly out of control and I'd known for years that I should stop drinking and had tried, by my own willpower, without success, several times to give up. Step 3 presented some problems. I'd been a practicing Anglican all my life, had held service positions in the church, been to conferences and retreats and so on. In my early 20s at a retreat, I'd had what I thought was a spiritual experience. And I went through the next 25 years hoping, without success, for a return to the peace and security I'd felt at that time. Nor had I any experience of direct or unmistakable communication from the Almighty. So I'd been getting increasingly dubious about the idea of an omnipotent and omniscient and benevolent higher power that watched over my every move. Also, I didn't really understand what was meant by handing over. How were the higher power's instructions going to be given to me? When I asked other members, the advice I got was mostly along the lines, well, you know, hand over and you understand when it happens. I have known some members who couldn't get out of bed in the morning until their higher power told them it was okay. So I passed over step three and continued with the rest of the program, working the steps, reading literature, talking to other members, meetings. I was told I ought to develop my spiritual side. I wasn't quite sure what spiritual meant. I was an accountant who worked for a bank. So I turned to my Anglicanism as a starting point and set out to read the whole Bible, which I did twice, together with a lot of other religious and ethical works. After about a couple of years, I was ready to come back to step three, but with the drawback that I no longer believed in a transcendent higher power. I was happy to be there, to be where I am today, an agnostic or apatheist who doesn't know if there is a God and doesn't think about it very much. My higher power is the spirit of the fellowship, my knowledge of all those millions of other alcoholics out there who understand how I feel, don't judge me, and will help me achieve or maintain sobriety if I ask. However, that sort of higher power isn't much use in running my life. What I eventually decided about step three is that it requires me to set a moral compass, a set of rules that I can't change, so I'm not running my life on self-will. My compass has three rules. First, the golden rule, doing unto others what I'd like them to do unto me. Second, utilitarianism. If I make decisions affecting other people, try for the greatest good of the greatest number. And finally, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Avoiding making decisions and interfering where it isn't necessary. When I look back in my life, I can't help thinking that if I had made important decisions by tossing a coin, I'd be right at around 50% of the time, which is a better average than I actually achieved when I was drinking. As another wise man said, when it's not necessary to do anything, it is necessary to do nothing. So I like the member in the story who asked their sponsor for help with step three and was told, all right, I'll show you an AA miracle. We'll hand your life over to whatever will take it. And here's the miracle. Your life will no longer be run by an idiot. And my life is no longer being run by an idiot, I hope. By and large, I followed my rules these many years of sobriety. And it's enabled me to live a mostly happy and some of the time peaceful and serene life. Thank you for letting me share.
If you would like to share your experience on a recovery question, visit the Sober Cube podcast website at soberq.com. Thanks for listening.